listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, where we answer your questions from a Bible-believing, God-trusting, Pauline perspective.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this week as Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship answers your questions from the Bible. If you have Bible questions that you would like to have answered on Grace Ambassadors Radio, please visit our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. But in the meantime, stay with us to hear Pastor Justin Johnson answer today's questions from the perspective of the Bible, rightly divided.
Watching Stephen Curry will not make you a basketball player. Neither will sitting in church make you a Christian. So what makes a Christian? It starts with, we're all sinners. And if we could save ourselves, we don't need Christ. But the truth is that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead and offers you eternal life freely. Trust that Christ did everything necessary to save you, then you will be a Christian.
Learn more about real Christianity and the clear gospel by visiting our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.
Curry steps back. It's good!
You grew up in a Catholic church, but stopped when it started to interfere with the ballgame. When you got married, you started going to the Baptist church down the road because you needed a pastor to perform the ceremony. Now that you have children, you started going to a non-denominational church because they had a better basketball court. But now your wife attends a charismatic church, and you stay home listening to ESPN Radio. Maybe you've been there and done that with churches, hopping from one to the next. Maybe you've never settled down because church never really made sense to you, and you had doubts and questions that weren't ever answered by the pastor. Well, you've never been to Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship. We teach Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Rite Division. We don't pass a collection plate. We don't beg for money. We don't jump the pew. We don't spend all morning singing and waving our hands in the clouds. Instead, we give an entire hour each Sunday morning to address your questions about the Bible. We take God's Word and actually apply it to current events. And we don't shy away from talking about the controversies. This is what you'll find at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship at 6281 South, 900 West, Swayze, Indiana. You're welcome to come out and study with us and get your questions answered at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. Or come out on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock where we study the Bible verse by verse. Or listen to us online at graceambassadors.com.
Here's what people are saying about Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship.
Grace Ambassadors is a Bible fellowship, and our main focus is studying the Bible.
The pure gospel of grace is taught and never mixed with law or a law-based system.
A group of people here earnestly seeking the truth from God's Word come together in unity of faith and sound doctrine.
It's about growing people in God's Word.
Being able to sit with my children or wife and have a basic understanding of the Bible helps in so many areas of life.
No lies, no tithing, just truth. Now that I've found Grace Ambassadors, I'll never go anywhere else.
Learn more about Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship at graceambassadorsradio.com. Grace Ambassadors Radio is a ministry of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship in Swayze, Indiana, where every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. an entire hour is dedicated to answering people's questions about God and the Bible. While priority is always given to the questions of people in attendance there at the meeting, sometimes we bring up questions that have been asked by people who contact us through the mail or our website, graceambassadors.com. Today on Grace Ambassadors Radio, we are featuring a segment of a recent 10 o'clock question and answer session at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship, where Pastor Justin Johnson works through an email he received from someone that serves as a classic example of how people can quote Bible verses, talk about Jesus, use church language, and yet not be a Christian because they have completely missed the gospel of Jesus Christ for salvation today. Let's listen to Pastor Justin Johnson's response to this email.
I got an email from someone last week or 2 weeks ago now, I forget, that asked me if I had any resources on my website talking about the false doctrine of once saved, always saved, and the true doctrine of conditional salvation based on your works. I thought it was a joke at first, but I've answered a lot of emails knowing that it's not. This isn't a joke. He's provoking me. Obviously, that's what that is when they say the true doctrine, the false doctrine. He's already made up his mind. He just wants me to talk about it. So I responded with, well, I need to know how you think a soul is saved before I give you any links to resources. So I respond with the gospel, knowing that he's going to give me a wrong one, but I want to hear it from his mouth. So he sends me back an email, 2 pages long, about what the gospel is. If it takes you 2 pages to describe the gospel, what do you know about that person's testimony? He's missed something. And it's a sad thing and a shame that nowhere in his 2-page testimony does he ever mention the cross of Christ.
Okay? Not once. He mentions Jesus. Sure. He mentions Jesus and obedience and commandments and the Bible and believing. Never the cross of Christ. And that's where you need to have discerning ears as well when you're talking to people. They'll talk about Jesus and talk about believing and talk about hope and faith and all that stuff. They will not mention the cross. If they don't believe Jesus died for their sins and rose from the dead, what does Paul say about this? Their faith is vain. What are they believing? I believe in Jesus. I believe in obeying His every word. Okay, how does that save you from sins? You say, well, it's Jesus. He loves me. Okay, this is true, but how does that save you from sins? You see, there's an ignorance there. And you don't have to keep badgering people. You can just give them the gospel, you know, because they need to hear it. You just need to discern that what you're hearing may be an unsaved person who thinks that they're saved. And the only thing worse than being unsaved is being unsaved and think that you are. Okay, so you need to have the love for the person, the courage to at least talk with them. It's not bashing them upside the head saying, you're wrong, I'm going to hell, you know. It's to help them understand more completely what the gospel is. Well, you know, all that stuff is good, but without the cross, you know, we're not saved at all. You know, we need Christ's death and resurrection. Anyway, he says, hello, Justin. A soul is saved by absolutely believing and complying with all of the scriptures, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I forgot to mention, he uses almost every cliche in the Christian book here. So he wants to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We've talked about that, right? And this is a common testimony you'll hear people say. How do you know you're a Christian? Well, I've accepted Jesus Christ. Oh, you mean you've studied out the philosophy or studied out this or that apologetic and you think it's reasonable to believe in Jesus? You've accepted Him as a reasonable worldview. You're unsaved. You accepting Jesus is not what God is trying to do. He's not trying to get the world to accept Him. We're the ones with the problem. He is graciously offering to make us acceptable to Him. See, and when you have that understanding, you know the gospel. We're the sinners. It's no skin off His back if we say you don't exist. What is He? We're ants. We're ants on the earth. He's trying to save us, and that shows His grace and mercy and love, is that He would try to save us, puny people that we are. So it's not us accepting Him, it's Him accepting us, and we're accepted in the beloved, Ephesians 1, verse 6 says, when we trust the gospel, right? But before he said he accepted Jesus Christ, he says a soul is saved by absolutely believing and complying with all of the scriptures. Nobody can do that. Nobody can do that. Now, if I tried to press him on this, I'm sure he wouldn't say we were to do some of the Old Testament laws and things like this. But that's what he said. I mean, we can't do that. He says we should follow Jesus' teachings. So he's a Jesus follower in this sense, and this is something Christians say, or people say they're Christians say as well. You can follow Jesus, and this is hard. You can follow Jesus and go to hell. Because what does it mean you're following Him? Well, I love Him. Okay. So what are you doing? Typically, the following Jesus, the what would Jesus do idea, and following Jesus' mannerisms, the things that He says, the principles He believes in, love your neighbor, you know, show mercy to the poor, and things like this. Those principles are what they're talking about. But those principles are taught by many world religions. Jesus, of course, was God and displayed His wisdom, but you know, a lot of those things Jesus said were in the law of Moses. And going back to the scholars will say that law of Moses was repeated throughout history and other civilizations. Now, we could talk about that and how we should read the Bible and that sort of business, but we understand that following Jesus according to the red letters, according to the law teachings, doesn't make you a Christian. It's understanding what Jesus is teaching today as the gospel. He says it's absolutely necessary to pick up your cross daily. And so this, of course, comes from Matthew, where Jesus says, he that takes up his cross and denies himself will find me. You know, he that loses his life will find it, and he that saves his life will lose it. And so he sees Jesus said that as necessity in Matthew. He says, in parentheses, which I am doing. So we'll just set aside the issue of pride and arrogance and that sort of thing. But he says, we need to pick up our cross daily, which I am doing. What does that mean? Personal self-sacrifice? Reckoning yourself dead, which is a Pauline phrase, and following the Lord, submitting to the Lord. We talked about lordship salvation briefly last week, but this idea that you've got to present yourself a worthy servant before God saves you is the very definition of what it means that you're saved by your works. Because you are presenting yourself worthy. And then God says, yep, you're good enough. You've taken up your cross. The only cross that's been taken up for me is the cross of Christ. He died for me. when you look at me and say, well, where are you taking up your cross? Well, we can talk about my daily life and whether I'm living according to how God made me in Christ now as a saved person. But my salvation is by God's grace. He did all the work. He died on the cross on my behalf. So I trust His cross, His work. Justin, where's your work to prove that you're saved? The work was done by Christ. That's my message constantly. The work for me was done by Christ. But you're trying to get off the hook. I'm not trying. God offered it. He said, I did the work for you. Trust what I did and you're saved. So he says, after doing all the scriptures, after accepting Jesus, after following his teachings, after picking up his cross daily, he continues to confess to Jesus. So you have a confession of sins, right? 1 John 1:9. And why wouldn't you? It's in the Bible, right? It's in the New Testament. And so again, this is why I said this is a really good teaching example, because almost everything that is Christian cliche for testimony and salvation, this is what he says he's doing to be saved. And it's what needs to happen to be saved. Remember his original email was, can you show me lessons that teach the false doctrine of once saved, always saved? He thinks that when people say, I'm saved, and I got saved once, and I'm saved forever, that's false in his eyes. And this is a huge debate in Christianity, but why do they think it's false? Why does he think it's false? Because he thinks I'm just claiming, because I believe in Jesus, I'm saved, nothing else matters. He thinks that I'm advocating sin. And of course I'm not. Grace doesn't do that. But we'll see here in a moment that it's not about simply just believing. It's not just faith. It's faith in what? Remember, up to now I've been saying continually that the work done for me was Christ's work. Without Christ's work, I'm not saved, whether I believe or not. But he says he continues to confess to Jesus that he's his Lord and Savior, which is Romans 10:9. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Paul was talking to Israel in Romans 10. He says, a momentary acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior does not guarantee anyone eternal life. That's the argument that plays out in Christianity, by and large. It's those who think that, and teach, some of them, that it's just belief, just faith. The in what part they don't describe. Just believe Jesus. Believe in His name, right? The name of Jesus Christ. And that's what saves you. And then there's the other side that says, believe in His name doesn't do anything. You've got to do His commandments. Both of these people are teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the book of John, what's it say in John 3:16? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes shall have everlasting life. So can I make a case for belief in John 3:16? Belief only. Yeah. But then in the same book of John, John 14:21, Jesus says, you have to keep my commandments if you love me. And so Jesus Himself so this is the debate back and forth. If you would rightly divide the scripture, and you understand that nowhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the gospel preached to the cross, then you understand that the gospel is only found in Paul's epistles, that he's wrong, and he's wrong what he's arguing against. He says, a momentary acceptance of Jesus does not guarantee eternal life. I agree 100%. Isn't that strange? I'm agreeing with this man that's disagreeing with me. He thinks that I believe that if I accept Jesus one point in my life, then that guarantees my eternal life. No. And if any of you think that it's wrong as well, accepting Jesus one moment in your life guarantees you eternal life. We've already talked about the acceptance principle, right? It's not you accepting Jesus, it's God making you acceptable in Christ. Okay, so it's not about me just believing in Jesus. It's about me trusting Christ's finished work. Yes, you believe in Jesus, but you have to trust what He did. He died on the cross, He rose from the dead. And when you trust what He did, that's God's offer of salvation. And you say, well, okay, we'll change the words here. You can't just trust what Christ did once in your life and then be saved forever. Well, that I would disagree with. Because according to God's gospel, you trust what Christ did on the cross. He saves you by His grace. He crucifies your old man. He puts you into the body of Christ. And He provides you eternal salvation, not based on your works, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but based on the work of Jesus. And so for me to lose that would undermine the work of Jesus.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, Pastor Justin Johnson will finish his response to this questioner's email about salvation. You're listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio. Every week, millions of adults suffer from the same terrible condition, Bible ignorance. Experts say most adults can't name the first book of the Bible. Do you think Joan of Arc was Noah's wife, Paul was one of the 12 apostles, or that the red letters are the most important? If you have any of these symptoms, act now. Get help by listening to GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com. You're not alone. Bible ignorance can be cured. Help stop the ignorance by listening to GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com. Here's what people are saying about Mid-Ax Pauline Right Division.
When I learned how to rightly divide the Bible, I realized for the first time that I truly am at peace with God through what Jesus Christ did on the cross.
Studying and learning God's Word rightly divided has helped me to realize how important it is to know sound doctrine.
When I came to rightly dividing the Word, everything just fell in place.
True comfort and peace come from knowing what God is doing today, and I don't have to wonder anymore because He's revealed it in His Word.
Right division has changed my understanding of Christianity and the Bible.
I was a very dedicated Christian before I learned right division, but when I learned right division, it completely changed my life.
Learn more about Mid-Ax Pauline Right Division at GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com. You're listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, and today we're broadcasting a portion of our Sunday morning 10 o'clock question and answer session at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship in Swayze, Indiana. In this segment, Pastor Justin Johnson is dealing with an email he received from someone who is very confused about what the Bible says salvation is for today. Let's see how Pastor Justin Johnson finishes his response to these issues.
According to God's gospel, you trust what Christ did on the cross. He saves you by His grace. He crucifies your old man. He puts you into the body of Christ. And He provides you eternal salvation, not based on your works, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but based on the work of Jesus. And so for me to lose that would undermine the work of Jesus. It would say Jesus' work was not sufficient enough. Because on the payment line, it doesn't say Justin, it says Jesus' finished work, the cross. And if you want to call the bank account empty, you got to look at Jesus' work on the cross, not me. That's not what I'm claiming for salvation. I'm not claiming my faith, I'm claiming Jesus' work. There's a big difference. So when he says, you can't just believe John 3:16, well, I don't. You've heard me talk before about how John 3:16 does not contain the cross of Christ. And how Jesus, of course, talks about works afterwards. So he says, anyone who stops following the teachings and commandments of Jesus Christ will forfeit their salvation, and at final judgment will find that Jesus Christ will cast them into the eternal lake of fire. So he doesn't hold anything back, and I'm glad he didn't, because I'd like to know what he believes. But he says that if you stop following the teachings and commandments of Jesus Christ, you will forfeit your salvation. If you're saved by trusting God's grace, this finished work, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, at what point do you start keeping all the commandments? You didn't keep all the commandments when you trusted Christ's finished work. That was offered to you freely by grace. And so the next morning, what? You wake up and automatically start doing that? And if you don't, then have you just lost it again? But see, this is the continual condition of people who teach this type of holiness doctrine, that you've got to live it to keep it. You've got to endure to the end. You've got to maintain it. It's impossible, folks. That's what the dispensation of God's grace teaches us. The law makes no one righteous. Your works cannot justify yourself. God justifies ungodly people, Romans 4, verse 5. And that doesn't advocate your ungodliness. That advocates Christ's finished work. He crucifies sin. He kills sin. And if you trust God's grace, you realize the wickedness of your sin and the need for Jesus to pay for it. That's what grace teaches. So should we continue in sin now, that grace may abound? Paul answers that in Romans 6. Of course not, because grace teaches that sin is so awful, Jesus had to pay for it. And you trusted Christ's payment. So what are you saying about sin? It needs paid for. It's wrong. But what, have you changed your mind now about the need for Christ's payment? If you haven't, then your mind, your attitude towards sin should be constantly, that's evil, it's wicked, it kills people, it was killing me before Christ saved me. We should not have it. That should be our approach. I'm only halfway through his testimony. He says there's many scriptures that state that our salvation costs us, and he quotes Galatians 5. This is the first Pauline verse he quotes from the NIV, so excuse me here. But he says, the acts of the flesh are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5. Now, that's the NIV version. But this is Paul saying, those works of the flesh, you do these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. What do you do with that? And we've covered this in the weeks past. Paul says something else in 1 Corinthians 6, the same thing. People who do these things have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. It's interesting how when we talk about things here, I don't know if it's just because we're paying attention to it or not, but it seems like things always show up in pairs. Edgar Mellish just used to say that, you know, bad things happen in threes. You heard that sort of principle? Or good things happen and whatever. It's like we talk about something here, and inevitably, in a week or two after, I'll see something else that verse applies to. It's amazing. This is why you should be in God's Word constantly. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 9, Paul, in the context of Corinthians, of course, is trying to rebuke this church for their bad behavior because they've taken God's grace, then used it as a license to sin, and Paul says that's not right at all. All things are lawful and all things are expedient. And he talks about who they are in Christ and all this. In verse 9, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And what were the Corinthians doing? Unrighteous deeds. So is Paul saying here, you guys have lost it. You guys aren't getting in. "Know ye not that fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, and so on and so forth, shall neither, nor none of them, shall inherit the kingdom of God." So you quote the verse as this gentleman does in his testimony and says, if you do any of those things, you're not getting in. But you keep reading in verse 11, it says, "Such were some of you." Now, is Paul saying here, you guys were this, but it's a good thing you don't do those things anymore? He's not saying that. Because in chapter 5 and chapter 6, he's rebuking them for doing those very things. He's saying, such were some of you. You used to be identified as these people because of what you did. And it was a true identification. If you lie, you're a liar. You kill, you're a killer. That's what you are. You're a sinner. He says, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified. Justified means what? You are made righteous. You're declared to be righteous. And that by faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The issue here has to do with identification. You were identified as a sinner because of your works. Without Christ, that's the only way you can be judged, is by your works. With Christ's work, salvation, God identifies you with his Son. Your new identity as a saved person, by God's grace, is a member of the body of Christ, a saint of God. That's your new identity, a servant of God. And if that's your title, if that's your job title, then you ought to perform what your job title says you ought to. And that's what he's telling the Corinthians. You were those things, and when you were those things, not Christians, you weren't going to inherit the kingdom of God. It is true that murderers, thieves, covetous, drunkards, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. But who are you? So this causes two questions to ask about yourself. Do I do these things? Because if you do those things, that's what you are. And do you trust Christ to pay for those sins? If you trust Christ to pay for those sins, you can change who you are. Now, I'm not saying your works. I'm saying your identity. And when God sees you in his courtroom, he says, that's not the sinner. That's a person who has faith in my Son's finished work. He is made righteous. Christ took his sins. He takes his righteousness. He's a righteous person. How can he be righteous? He did evil. Christ paid for his sins. He made him righteous. You're justified in Christ. You see? This is salvation, folks. I don't know how to make it any more clear, but we've taught this before. Anyway, he finishes his testimony there in Revelation 21. These are just a few of the scriptures stating the above. I have several more. I hope that they above have enlightened you as to where my question lies. And so this is his testimony. Nowhere is include the cross, nowhere the blood of Jesus, none of that. But he quotes scripture left and right, and many of them from the red letters from Hebrews, 1 John, Revelation, many same books that many people who call themselves Christians will quote. John 3:16 is in there. I mean, who would deny this? I'm not being against Christ at all. I'm for Jesus Christ and the preaching of his grace. I glory in the cross of Christ, and the cross is not found when you read John 3:16, as this gentleman testifies. He that believeth in the Son of God shall never perish, shall have life, John 3:16 says. Is it a good thing to believe in Jesus? Yes, you should believe in Jesus. Does that verse talk about how your sins are paid for by the finished work of Christ? No. So you have how many people who read that verse, on a banner, in a bookmark, who watch the movie, and they say, I believe in Jesus, I accept Jesus, and they still don't know about his cross. He says you got to do everything the Bible says. That's kind of naive. He says that he does do everything the Bible says. That's also naive. He never quotes Paul's salvation at all. So you're talking to an unsaved person who thinks they're a Christian. And he thinks I'm going to hell because I don't do everything that he does. That's right. Or at least he thinks. He doesn't know me personally, but you know, this is his assumption. Wow. We got work to do, folks. Lord, we thank you for your word and for your grace, without which we would not be saved, and neither would the world have any hope. And so as we approach people, our friends, our family, our neighbors, help us to have the compassion, the love towards them, to start spiritual conversations, to inquire about what they're trusting, to encourage and strengthen their faith and hope in you, so that they can have a confidence of salvation. They can know what you provided for them, and that we can be their neighbors, family, and friends for eternity. Amen.
Today on Grace Ambassadors Radio, you've been listening to just a portion of a recent question and answer session at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship in Swayze, Indiana. Most churches do not give their attendees a chance to ask their questions, but at Grace Ambassadors, questions are encouraged. Not only do we provide a full hour every Sunday dedicated to questions and answers, we allow time for questions before and after every lesson as well. If you have questions about God or the Bible, we encourage you to come out and visit Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship to get them answered. If you have sincere questions about God, Christianity, or the Bible, then there's no question too big or too small. And we believe the Bible rightly divided provides the answers to all of the confusion that exists in Christianity today. Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship is located at 6281 South 900 West, just 3 miles south of Swayze, Indiana. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. We welcome you to come out and ask your questions. Of course, you can also send us your questions via the communication method of your choosing. You can go to graceambassadorsradio.com and leave a message through our contact form. Or if you would rather write us a note, you can address your envelope to Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana 46986. Or if you prefer to call on the phone, you can dial 828-528-1177, and you can leave us a voicemail there, and we'll be sure to get back in touch with you. Again, that number is 828-528-1177. However you choose to contact us, please be sure to tell us that you heard us on the radio. You can also listen to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio and all other past archived episodes at graceambassadorsradio.com. And from there, you can also access the teachings of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship, along with lots of articles, resources, and other Bible study materials. And as always, thank you for listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio. The Bible says the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. By the cross, God takes ungodly sinners and freely justifies them through faith. But how can a righteous God give salvation to ungodly men simply by faith? Shouldn't salvation be earned by good works? The problem is that we are all sinners and the wages of sin is death. So a million good works amount to nothing when one sin results in death. If God only can give salvation, and man cannot earn salvation and has nothing with which to pay, then the only way to get salvation is if God provides it freely. And this is exactly what God has done through the blood, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ did everything necessary to save your soul. Trust God's righteousness in Christ and not your own, and you will be saved.
Now, if you've been listening and been asking yourself, what is this right division? Where do I start? How do I begin? I wrote a book just for you. I wrote a book last year about how to rightly divide called Start Rightly Dividing. And I want to give you that book for free if you come to my website and give me your mailing address. I want to know if you're listening. So if you're listening, send me your name and your mailing address at graceambassadorsradio.com and I'll send you a free copy of my book, Start Rightly Dividing. That's graceambassadorsradio.com. Want to learn more about Mid-Axe Pauline Bible-believing Christianity? You can listen to all of our programs archived online at graceambassadorsradio.com. But don't just listen. I want your feedback. Go to our website and ask your questions. Tell me what you liked about this program. Tell me if you're confused about the Bible. Tell me how good-looking I am. Or tell me off. Whatever your reaction, I want to hear from you. If you'd rather write me a letter, you can send your questions and comments to P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, the only Swayze in the world. Our website is graceambassadorsradio.com, and we go to the post office every week to hear from you at Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio, a ministry of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship in Swayze, Indiana. To learn more about our ministry or to submit your Bible questions to be answered on the air, please visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.